I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. The roller coaster ride of global stock markets veered back downward today. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped 5%. Shares in Europe were down 6.5%. And here in the U.S., the Dow closed down as well, losing more than 7% of its value today. It appears that the enthusiasm spurred earlier this week by bank rescue plans has given way to pessimism about the broader economy. European leaders talked openly today about the possibility of a global recession. Here's French Prime Minister François Fillon.
Si l'Amérique rentre en récession, c'est évidemment une très très mauvaise nouvelle.
If America goes into a recession,
si l'Amérique rentre en récession, c'est évidemment une très très mauvaise nouvelle.
If America goes into a recession, this would of course be very bad news for us, because it means that all the developed countries will face a very difficult year in 2009.
At a meeting in Brussels, European leaders called for additional steps to help the economy. Among the ideas, setting up a financial early warning system to look for new signs of trouble. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that should help prevent future economic crises.
Dennoch müssen wir damit rechnen, dass sich das Wachstum in Deutschland abschwächen wird.
We must nevertheless expect a weakening of growth. I'm convinced that a sustained economic downturn is not on the horizon, but the measures we've decided upon are necessary.
Growth is the watchword. It's what everyone wants more of. But there are some economists who do not see growth as a solution. In fact, they consider it a problem. The world's Alex Gallifant has more.
Growth is a problem. That doesn't sound right. Free market economists have long thanked economic growth for lifting the poor out of poverty, for improving life expectancy, and for providing money for all our retirements. But there's a group of economists that say no. That's not the way the world really looks at all.
The economy is a subsystem of a larger ecosystem, the larger Earth biosphere.
This is Herman Daly, the father of a field of study called ecological economics. He's a professor at the University of Maryland.
The larger system is not growing, and there's a limit, therefore, to how much the subsystem, the economy, can appropriate from the larger system without incapacitating its life support services.
Those life support services include the provision of clean air and clean water. Most economic growth today comes at the expense of natural ecosystems. We pave wetlands that provide natural flood control, and we chop down forests that help protect us from global warming. At the same time, there are more and more of us that this finite Earth has to support. As Daly sees it, the more of the Earth we use up or fill up, the less there is left to actually do the work of sustaining us.
That is, how big can your heart be before it's too big for your lungs to support?
Sooner or later, we can't grow any more. Or can we?
That really doesn't make sense to me.
Marlo Lewis is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a free market think tank in Washington. He takes the standard economic view that growth is not fundamentally limited.
You may remember that back in 1972, a group called the Club of Rome put out a very scary report called Limits to Growth, in which they argued that all kinds of terrible things would happen by the early 1990s. The planet would basically run out of recoverable natural gas and oil, other minerals, because capitalism and reckless, rampant economic growth was unsustainable. And none of those disasters came to pass. And the reason is that human ingenuity is a non-depletable resource.
That's true. One astonishing invention and the world economy could conceivably grow in ways we can't yet imagine. That's what happened with the internet. But however far off we are, there can be no infinite amount of space in the world to grow into, nor resources to use up, be they known or unknown. So for the sake of argument, let's assume that we are getting close to the limit, or at least the limit of what the Earth can sustain without keeling over. What would stopping economic growth look like? Again, Herman Daly.
When quantitative expansion comes to its end, then your attention moves to qualitative improvement.
Qualitative improvement in economic terms would be doing better things with the same amount of stuff, making efficiencies, redesigning products, developing technology, and carefully allocating the resources we do have. Robert Costanza is an ecological economist at the University of Vermont.
The point is, what is it about the economy that we want to grow?
He says we haven't woken up to the idea of an end to growth because we're measuring economic progress in the wrong way. Simple GDP doesn't account for the damage done to common assets such as the global atmosphere or the world's tropical rainforests. Costanza looks to other measures. For instance, there's one called the Genuine Progress Indicator that do.
And those measures for the U.S., for example, show that since about the mid-70s, we haven't been improving our overall welfare at all. The costs have canceled out many of those benefits.
But not everyone agrees on the economic value of something like a rainforest. That's one problem. Another is that large parts of the developing world do need to grow their economies. They need more housing, more sewage pipes. So to let those countries grow and at the same time stop global growth, rich countries might have to shrink their economies and consume less. And that would be a bitter pill to swallow. So if a global economy that's developing but not growing, a steady state economy, if that is what's going to be needed in the future, how will it ever come to pass? Herman Daly.
That's a really good question. It may be that it will have to come from rethinking after a crisis.
But Daly fears it'll take a much bigger crisis than the current one to get the world to reconsider the idea that all growth is good. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.